On this episode of The Breeze Podcast,
But in our world, The Breeze Podcast world, you're essentially nominated for a Grammy. So,
oh, buddy, like, a Grammy's gonna happen. Like, a real Grammy's gonna happen. And then we'll talk about it on the podcast.
John, I sent you a text, and I told you I finally figured out how to become a billionaire.
I'm about ownership, you know what I mean? Like, I want to own masters, I want to own copyrights, because that's, as you know, it's another source of income.
Let's get into the episode. What's up, listeners? You're listening to the Breeze Podcast. My name is probably like 12, 4, 13, 4, Victor White. I'm here with my boy.
Yo, it's the boy, J14-AM. What's good?
John, I'm keeping score. You just don't know of what.
I don't know what's happening, bro.
All right, so on this episode, we have a bunch of wicked things to tell you about and to talk to you listeners about. You, yes, exactly, you, the person listening to this. I know I'm in your ears, so whatever you're doing, I hope you're able to keep a straight face and that you're not at work, because you're going to be laughing your ass off this episode. With that, Celine, roll the intro.
Breeze! Breeze!
Breeze.
Jonathan.
Oh yeah, I see it, dog.
So you're currently unemployed, like so many others in this corona crisis.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be unemployed? I'm just using this gray area before you start your new job as much as I possibly can.
Yo, I don't really feel unemployed. I mean, like, I'm just like, I wake up and I work on other stuff. Wait, it's just I don't go into an office.
Wait. So John, like, I see something on your head, but you have this incredibly moot, like this light against. Is that your hair?
Yeah, it's my hair, bro.
bro, first, wait. Can you show me your hair in better light so I can tell the listeners what I'm looking at? John, you look like, you know, in the 90s, you know, when they had the fro, like Will Smith, like Jackson 5 type of thing.
No, true that.
At least your beard is gone, so it seems like you're alive now.
I'm here, bro. I'm here.
I'm sorry for making fun of your appearance during these quarantine times, bro. But it had to be done.
Bro, like, I'm in the same boat as many other people, you know. That's how it goes.
So, is this where you're getting locks?
Yo, Nabi. I actually had it twisted. I had it twisted up to yesterday.
Okay.
I'm just redoing it. Mm-hmm. Gonna wash my hair and then I'm gonna do it again. But
yeah,
no locks. That's, we can't be the locks podcast.
I want to talk about black culture when it comes to hairstyles on Chopped Up, bro. Because
please,
something blew my mind. But before we get there, what's been up this week?
Yo, this week, bro. I've just been on the same grind. Nothing much different. Like, waking up, writing songs, contacting people. Got a couple leads. I entered this contest. Like, just because.
Yeah.
Like, just because. Like, I just... Like, Zario sent me, which is my business partner. He sent me, like, this songwriting competition.
Yeah.
Abbey Road Studios. Which is, like, the greatest studio in the world.
The account has like 400,000 followers on Instagram. Bro, it's a huge thing.
They had 500 people enter this contest, and then they shortlisted them on 25.
Yeah.
And I got on the shortlist, which is amazing, because I don't know how. I just sent like a song. I saw my email, and they were like, yo, congratulations. Like, we shortlisted you.
And the song is Java.
The song is Java, yeah. The cool thing about it is that the winner gets to meet and have a conversation with one of the whichever songwriter picks you. So there's like Nile Rodgers, which is like the guy that wrote Get Lucky by Daft Punk. There's like Pooh Bear, who's like Justin Bieber's collaborator, who writes like all of Justin Bieber's songs. Then there's like a couple other guys that are like write like for One Direction and stuff. So
yeah,
that would be pretty cool. Like just being shortlisted alone is like, I'm grateful for that. Like, I'm not looking
it's insane.
For anything.
I saw that. I went in on the count and I was like, yo, this is major. I would actually go as far as saying, I mean, it's not like winning a Grammy, but in our world, the Breeze podcast world, you're essentially nominated for a Grammy. So,
oh, buddy, like, a Grammy is going to happen. Like, a real Grammy is going to happen. And then we'll talk about it.
I believe that. You have to invite me to the party, bro. To the gala. Yeah,
bro, like, Zara been telling me about these parties and, like, that he went, like, in LA is just, like, the craziest things ever, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited just to be there and just be talking to these people that are, I looked up to as a kid, you know what I mean? So, it's going to happen, bro. It's going to happen. See, I got a pretty important meeting today, too.
Okay.
Which I'll tell you about after, but...
Yeah.
What's happening, bro.
John, at what point would you ditch your career for the music career?
So, like, I even had this conversation yesterday.
Okay.
Everything is... So, everything that I've done is important for something, right? So, like, even working at IBM, like, IBM's, like, their culture is very, like, startup-y. You know what I mean? Like, in the office that I'm at. So, if I had to... I want to use IBM's, like, and then the relationships I get from there for, like, my next product, like, whatever I'm working on next. So, for me, the music is similar to how Elon Musk started PayPal, and then he got that check, and then he got something else, and then he started something else. Like, this is the fastest way for me to get, like, a lot of capital.
Okay.
And a lot of capital, so I can start something that I want to do. And, like, those connections that I have in that tech world is going to be super important.
Okay.
So, like, it'll come to... I was talking to Zara just about scheduling. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, like, the job I have is going to be, like, super...
Yeah.
Like,
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. So stop being so damn political. At what point, like, John, when you become like Post Malone did, you know, you blow up on SoundCloud and you get hundreds of millions of listeners. Sure, you get the royalties, but then you have this tour ahead of you that you could do and just bank like millions of dollars, you know, worldwide tour.
Here's the thing. Like, people don't understand. Like, songwriters actually make more money than artists. So if I get one song...
obviously, yeah.
If I get one song, say, like, I've seen this almost every day for the last week. I see these guys, they wake up, and then they see, oh, shoot, like, Chris Brown recorded on my track. And
let me just say something quick here for the listeners. So there are roughly, like, five guys that produce all the hits in the world. Every single radio hit you hear, it's, like, five guys. What's one of them is like the Swedish dude. What's his name? You know,
there's Max Martin.
Max Martin. There's
like Benny Blanco.
Benny Blanco, exactly.
There's like used to be Dr. Luke.
Yeah, it's a small clique, and it's a sick boat to be in because you bank all this money.
Here's the thing, though. Uh-huh. There's two sides to that.
Yeah.
There's that pop world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pop world which is like you're hearing your Katy Perry's and you're hearing your like.
Yeah.
Rihanna's in considering there.
Yeah.
And then there's the other world, which is like that urban, like hip hop world.
Yeah.
And those guys, like, if you understand, like, how that works,
yeah.
There are people, like, there's a guy from Brampton that just woke up yesterday that has a Chris Brown placement. Chris Brown dropped an album yesterday.
Yeah.
He happens to be on the album. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, producing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you get into any, like, you get one song, bro, and it's over. You know what I mean?
Yo,
like,
regarding Chris Brown, like, when we're on the subject. So I told you in Toronto that I don't listen to Chris Brown because he abused Rihanna, right?
Yeah.
And I recently got a playlist sent to me with a Chris Brown song. And I actually...
Quiet. I'm talking on. You can't. You
You're not a guest yet, guest material yet. So, and I saw this Chris Brown song and I started listening to it and then I turned it off because, like, you know, man, I have, you know, my what I think, like, are right and wrongs in the world. But then again, we've had this conversation about separating the art from the artist, you know?
Sure.
And then, so I'm like, okay, let's listen to the song. But then again, I'm like, no, I really don't vibe with this. I really don't vibe with this guy. Like, that's so disrespectful. At some point, you got to take responsibility for your actions you've done in your past. I'm in a good spot because, you know, you clearly took responsibility. Like, you know, this doesn't account for me, obviously, and the things that I might have done that you're now responsible for all eternity. However, when it comes to him, I just felt, and I don't know, I know that you're not on the same boat as me, and, like, listeners, I don't know if I'm crazy thinking that way. I don't know, John. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it's, like, that's, like, he makes music, bro, and that's not my business. Mm. That's been years, and they have addressed that, and they have addressed that over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I feel like holding this thing over his head is, like, it's pretty, like, okay, he did it, but, like, are we gonna, like, hold it over his head for, like?
Do you think that I, as a consumer, should get over it and listen to his music?
I feel if, like, Rihanna herself came out and spoke about it, and, like, she was like, "Yeah, it happened," like. That, like, we were 16 years old, forgive him, like, years later, like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's, like, my place to be like, nah, forget Chris Brown, like, he did this and did this. Like, he's a sick artist, bro. I can't take that away from him. He's talented. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like,
yeah, it's, but not my place. I guess I like to do business with people that I like, you know, that I genuinely like. That's why we do this podcast. That's why I have the people around me.
Exactly. I like his music.
You know?
I love his music.
I also like to use things that I'm proud of using and things that I can stand for. And I guess I just can't really, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just an issue that I have that I need to get over, you know, because everyone makes mistakes. But I just think that mistake, like, abusing a woman is, like, I just feel like at what point as a man do you have, like, sit, I don't know, it's just so insane to me, John. I mean, what if I abused, like, my girlfriend and that came out, you know, and I'm like, John, let's continue with the pod, like, obviously your views of me would be different for all eternity going forward, right?
Not for all eternity going forward, bro. Like, we'll have a conversation and then we'll, like, figure out what, like, what's good. And then, like,
yeah,
like,
but
there's a thing. No, but there's a thing called forgiveness, bro. And, like,
I know.
Forgiveness. Like, I can't hold something over your head forever and ever and ever. Like, that's just not healthy.
That is true. And that's just, like,
that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Because then you walk around and you have a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You have a chip on your shoulder for every single person that did something to you. And, like, yeah, if you have that energy, bro, like, by all means, you can do it. But, yeah, like, it takes too much effort, bro. Like,
yeah, it's true, bro. So, listeners, this is what I'm gonna do for my personal growth till next week, is listen to Chris Brown stuff. Maybe you can be nice enough to send me some of the best songs or whatever, John, that you think are good. And then I'll tell you guys how I feel. A little bit of a social experiment.
Yeah, fair. But just going back to the point.
Like, yes, going back to the point.
One song. If you get one song, it's like, You're blessed. Mm-hmm. But then you get on that high when you want to get another one, another one, another one. Then,
yeah,
I will see what happens, bro.
But back, like, to my question, at what point, like, because obviously, so John, like, the way there's always a pivot point, right? So let's say you get 4, 5, 6 songs, 100 million plus streams, you know, and you have that money coming in, obviously. But then your fans, they're gonna want to see you perform live. So that is, like, you know.
So let's make a clarification.
Yeah.
I have no ambition ever, 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 ever in life to be an artist. Like, I don't want to sing.
Okay.
I strictly just want to be in the studio and we write and we produce and do that stuff.
Okay.
To your question.
So write and produce, not. Okay.
Yeah, because, like, I'm about ownership, you know what I mean? Like, I want to own masters. I want to own copyrights. Because that's, as you know, it's another source of income. Like when it comes to the point where what I'm getting from that outweighs what I'm getting from any 9 to 5, I'm out, bro. Like
then you're out from the 9 to 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So so
let's be in Los Angeles, bro.
Okay. Yeah. 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 But that's essentially my question. So let's say you have this job and you make 100K a year, and then from your music hustle you start making like 100, 200, 300, 400K. Then you'd leave your job, move to LA to just solely focus on songwriting, production, that type of thing. And then, bro, like, and then maybe what would happen? That would be your,
So people don't understand. Like, this is education for the people, for the listeners too. Like, so how it works? You get paid off royalties, and like, I don't really care for streaming royalties. I don't really care for Spotify. Like, you don't get any money off of that. Like, what you get money off of is like the publishing that, like, so that'd be like, it's called mechanical royalties, which would be when it plays on the radio, when it plays in the elevator, when it plays in a movie, like all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get those you get that paid to you quarterly.
Yeah.
Right. Every quarter.
So, and, yeah, and guys, these numbers are insane. There are some people, like, there's this Swedish band, and they're like, nobody knows them, but they made this one super hit. I don't remember if it's a Christmas song or whatever. And they're banking big bucks. And this song was made like 30 years ago or whatever. Because bro, like every Christmas is playing, you know?
Six figures.
So, just to just to keep
so
on.
Like, I don't want to be an artist.
Yeah.
So like my as coming like business background, like what I want to do is bring other songwriters through that pipeline.
You're breaking my heart here, because I want to hear your angel voice in my head. But you'll supply me with, you know, unreleased things you'll that I can listen to.
The behind the scenes, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I'll probably release like one or two, like, you know, demo tracks.
Yeah.
That's about it. Nah.
So probably what'll happen is that you'll change, you'll twist into that thing, and that'll be your main hustle, right? And when you amass that capital, you'll then be looking for somewhere to invest that money, having your IBM background and your contacts through there, and then like investing maybe tech startups or whatever will become your side hustle, you know, from the music. Is that kind of a correct view of your vision?
I guess you can call it that. Like, right now is doing the music and then taking the funds from that and expanding that. So it's more like I'm managing, like you're managing songwriters and you're taking, you're nurturing them.
Providing opportunities. You know what I
mean? Yeah. Correct. And then like, why not like starting, like you said, like that's the plan, is to take that money. And no, because it doesn't make sense for me. Like, if you're investing and you, like, investing though for me is like practice. You know what I mean? Like, no, I know, like, okay, this is, you're not really making like money. You just know like what to look for. This is what to look for. So when you have that, like, the actual money to play with now or to invest, it's like, okay, this is what we're going to do for real.
Okay. So
that's the goal, bro. That's the goal.
Okay, sick. Now I know. Because I didn't understand that, you know, the songwriting and production and the ownership. I knew about the ownership deal, but because your voice is so amazing, I somehow saw you blowing up and that whole thing, which might still happen. And I'm going to be interested in seeing when you have all those plays on your music and people be like, yeah.
Do you know The Dream?
The Dream? No.
Yeah, so he's a songwriter, right?
Okay.
He wrote Rihanna. He wrote Rihanna's Umbrella.
Okay.
Like, that's the first hit he had.
Mm.
So he took that. Like, now he runs a fund, $1.3 billion asset under management. Okay. He's not even, like, he's just a song. Like, that's just a songwriter that got money, but he was smart. You know what I mean? He's sick. Like, okay, sick. Like, I'm not going to live forever, so what's going to be the next move? So there are a lot of things. The ownership game is, like, is where I want to be, like, It doesn't make sense for me being an artist.
That's true for everyone listening to the podcast. You got to find a way to own what you're doing, you know? Whatever you're doing, you know, ownership, that's how you pay less taxes and then the bank manager who's getting paid millions of dollars but have to tax a majority of it. It's by owning shit, corporations, being smart, tax planning. But it's not about avoiding taxes. Like, personally, I'd happily pay taxes. But it's about growth as well and being smart, yes.
Yeah, I think, like, probably next couple episodes I'll walk you through, like, what exactly I'm doing, like, with starting a publishing company and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
The listeners to get understanding, but that's where we got to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
What's with you, bro? How was your week? We took out 20 minutes talking about
it. I know. It's just a vibe.
That's fair.
So I told you before we went on this recording, I just finished my possibly last maths test. It was online, 5 hours in total. It's kind of pressed on time. However, just as long as I raise my grade, I'm all good, hopefully. And then we're in this major sales process with Expanded Media, which is sick. So hopefully, because now when like the studying is kind of done, the thing is, I have the easiest math course left that I have a B in. I want to raise it to an A, and it's easy maths. However, with Corona and everything, it's uncertain if that will even happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my main focus now is just building Expanded Media. We want to have at least 10 clients signed. It'd be nice when I start uni to like be able to outsource my work and be in a more managerial role and start building teams with the capital that we'll have coming in from the clients, you know. So that's gonna be my main project, like these, as I'll be studying these coming 3 years, and just, you know, build up on that. I did fire my my old accountant firm and hired a new one. Did I tell you what happened?
Yo, I think we're like about to record a podcast when like he charged too much or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like, so, for like nothing.
Exactly. So I had the best guy, right? But he had to leave for paternity leave. That's how it works in Sweden. If you're a father, you can leave for like 9 months and get paid. Whatever, no biggie. Nice. Yes, it's a big deal. Some people hearing this are like, what? But okay, I can't just go left and right, but I was going to say that they've done similar things in Barbados now, right? With paternity leave, you can split it between the mom and dad.
I don't know. I'm not too sure.
Okay. Anyhow,
let me Google.
So the guy leaves last August, and I get this new guy as my contact person. And then he sends me the invoice for Q4. And it's kind of high, and it's this set price, right, per quarter. So I tell him, why did I get the set price per quarter when the deal is that you guys charge me hourly, and it's usually roughly like 2-3 hours a quarter. So it's a big difference in money there. And he was like, oh, I thought you and the old guy you were talking about. And I was like, no, we never talked about that. I'd be happy if you charge me hourly. So then I get a new invoice that's double as much as the one before. And he says, well, we've sent your employer registrations forms to Skatteverket, and we charge half an hour each time. And the thing is, you only have to enter information if you're taking a salary. I haven't been taking a salary because I've been like traveling and stuff, so you can take tax-free deductions, etc. No one ever told me that they were gonna charge for it, because the old guy, he was the type of vibe where it's like, Victor, you can do this yourself. It's just unnecessary for you to pay us. whatnot, yeah. You know? And I've been with them for close to 4 years. So I see that, and I see that they've deducted 4 hours in total for that specific thing. So obviously, I start fuming up, becoming angry. Not only did he send me an invoice that was twice as high, but they also added this BS fee. So I, just to like make sure I'm not crazy, I went in on the Swedish IRS and I sent in the form, and it took me a minute, which proves my theory, which means these 8 occasions that they billed me 4 hours for took them a maximum of 20 minutes, if I'm generous with time, you know? So that's then wild. Obviously I look through old emails and I reply to him that I think it's insane that they do such a thing, you know? And I also like, you know, put some old emails there between me and the other guy, and I told him like, guys, you have to understand, this is not reasonable. If you're going to charge someone for something, you have to tell them that you're charging for it, you know?
Transparency.
And for me, like, worst case scenario, I'd be fine, like, if they deducted like a quarter or whatever, but I thought they do it at the same time they do the bookkeeping. Anyhow, so he talked to his boss, whatever. And then finally, after a bunch of emails back and forth, he was like, okay, he waived the whole thing, those 4 hours. So I was like, oh, sick. But at the same time, I was feeling like, you know, I was getting ripped off, because these guys, like, they're in Stockholm. I'm just like, I'm nobody for them, you know?
Yeah.
And even though business is business and that's how it works, that's not the feeling I had when I had my old guy who went on paternity leave, you know, because I felt like he cared for me and my well-being. So what I did is that I contacted another contact that I had that I met through a job like 2 years ago or something. And they asked me like, oh, how do you do with your accounting? You should come to us. We're cheaper, better, more local, more familiar, you know, family-ish shtick.
Mm.
So I contacted her and I got a quarterly quota, which is way cheaper, way better for me. The annual reports and stuff, way better deal on those. So I cut my costs by like 50% a year by switching over. So I had a meeting with my new accountant, which was super sick, and I'm super happy about that. And
that's sick.
Yeah. So
I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, but then so I just
be like,
so but that's Victor. That's the thing. So I emailed him. I'm like, I'm no longer acquiring your services. Thanks for this time, whatever. Do I need to sign anything? And he was like, oh, thank you. I wish you good luck in the future. And that was even more of a dagger to my heart, because now I'm like, aren't you going to beg for me to stay or try to give me a better deal? But that's just me being an only child on my mom's side, getting all the attention, not getting the attention. I'm like, you know. But yeah, so it was sick. So I'm hyped about, you know, Corona times. It's all about cutting the corporate costs and things like that, which I've been doing. And then I fell in another trap. Listen to this, John. You know how you sometimes refer to salespeople as snake oil salesmen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my business partner, he's like, I have this new business phone. What's it called? When you have, your phone thing, your phone plan, exactly. So he's like, and this company, they have a really good deal, super cheap. It's like half the price of anything else on the market. So naturally, I called the company, I set it up, you know. For some reason, I've been paying my phone plan private, like from my taxed money, when I could have had it for 4 years on the company bill. Sure. I finally took the step. And it's all fine. And then, like, 10 days later, I get this call from the salesperson. He's like, "Hi, I'm calling from Tele2, and it's a phone company, and I'm wondering what you're doing with your business plan for your phone." And I was like, "No, it's fine. I just switched to this other company, 3. So he was like, "Oh, I'm actually calling from 3. And I was like, "Oh, is that so?" You know, it's a vendor that sells things and stuff. So he was like, "Yeah, let me put you in contact with one of our best sales guys. And we can hook you up with an even better deal." So I was like, "Okay, that sounds interesting." So I listened to what he says. He's like, "Yeah, so you get the 4-month cash back if you get the plan through us. All you have to do is call 3 and tell them that you no longer want the deal because you have 14 days for yourself to go back on what you signed." So I was like, "Oh, that's sweet. Like, I don't mind free money, you know, if all I have to do is call them and do that." So I sign up for that thing, thinking I'm all sweet, that I'll get, like, you know, 4-month cash back of the thing, even cheaper than what it already was. I call 3. I talk to their business people. They tell me, "Well, that's only the case for civilians and self-employed. If you have a registered company, that thing, the 14-day return policy, that you can't do it." So, and I was like, "But they told me I could, and I signed up for another deal now." So all this headache because of that stupid thing, you know? So now, and so I tried calling them back. The first company, top notch, I'm putting you out there, bad on you, spank. I called them back, can't get a hold of them. I emailed them. Not only haven't they responded on my email, because the girl at 3, she was like, "Don't worry, you're not going to end up paying double bills. Like, you won't. Because it's obviously their fault that they didn't know that you couldn't do this or that they misinformed you." So I was like, "Okay, great." And not only that, I then get messages that they sent the SIM card to some random ass address in the southern part of Sweden. So I'm like, what's going on?
That's a mess.
Yeah, and also, yeah, so that's like a small headache that I have. But, it's a net positive win because I cut my phone bill by a lot, so.
That's reasonable.
And also, bro, this is the sickest thing. With that corporate plan, you get X amount of international plans. You can use your own phone number in Canada, the US, Australia, nice. You know, all those things. So I'm hyped about that.
That's sick.
And yeah, still walking on clouds, you know. Flying on clouds. It's about
to change.
No, John, it won't change. It won't change.
I said, no, it's about to change. Yeah.
I thought you said, "I expect that to change."
No. Never that.
Floating on clouds is an understatement. I'd say I'm flying in my brand new Gulfstream G700. You know, with freaking silk floors that I'm walking on barefoot, you know, enjoying the best food in the world, cruising with the option of taking a shower at the high altitude, you know, when I'm on my way, making millions and millions of money.
Fair. That's a good feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Agree that we're going to be professional. So let's move on to another topic. Chopped up.
We're in it. Chopped up.
Okay.
Yo. So.
Yeah.
Can you pronounce Elon Musk's?
XEAI. And the funny thing is, so I see that tweet from the mother, and she says, like, A-17 is our favorite vehicle because it's not designed as a weapon, it's just designed to go super fast. Under there's a comment, "Honey, it's actually A-71. Other than that, you're all right. So who is Grimes?
Bro, I have no idea. Like, I just, like, I have no clue. That's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know much about her.
So, there's a couple of interesting variables to this equation. First of all, if you go in on Grimes' Instagram, you see the woman that beard that gave birth to Elon Musk's fifth or sixth child. Okay. Second of all, she seems to be this artist doing some type of music into anime, whatever, whatever, which seems to be in line with Elon Musk's activity on social media and the things he sometimes likes and retweets and whatever. Right? I'm thinking, though, that for Elon Musk, reprocreating.
What do you mean? Like,
when you make babies.
Making a child? Procreating?
Procreating. Yeah. No, it's. Anyhow, that word.
Procreating or the art of reproduction?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. I feel like there's a word in the middle. But anyhow, I feel like for him, it's all about spreading his genius seeds with different women to make sure his legacy will live on. I don't know.
I saw one comment that Maz was like, Elon Musk just birthed a Tesla model, the newest Tesla model. I was like, bro,
that
is actually hilarious.
Because I have someone in my close circle who did an Instagram poll, and the poll asked, who would you rather have as a mentor, Elon Musk or Richard Branson? John, who would you rather have? You would take Elon Musk. Okay. Yeah. That's very interesting. Because from my observations, and the majority, like 75%, chose Elon Musk. However, from my observations, when it comes to qualities that a mentor should possess, I feel like Richard Branson would be the way better mentor compared to Elon Musk.
It depends on what type of mentor you like. Do you want someone to sit down and show you like what's good, or do you just want to be in the same room as that individual? If it's a matter of just being in the same room, then I'll choose Elon Musk over Richard Branson.
So
think. I feel like I'll learn from a simulation rather than just you sitting and like nurturing me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but so the way I think about that specific scenario is that I feel like Elon Musk's level of thinking, like, we know he works on the basis of first order principles, okay, and the things, the way he navigates, etc., etc. But when it comes to being a mentor, I don't know that much about his family life, other than it's kind of like a hurricane because he works so much, you know, in and out of relationships, whatever. Mm. You know, I can't speak too much about it because I don't know anything about it. However, true. I feel like Richard would be the way better mentor on every level compared to Elon because of Elon's intellect. And I have the fear that for him to, transfer his things to another human being would be way more difficult, even though you'd probably learn a lot shadowing him. But I'm talking more like a mentor, like you'd have a mentor with everything you're going to go through the next 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. But I mean, like, me personally, if I had to choose between the two of them, and not like a matter of sitting down and talk, like, if I just was in the same room, I feel I would learn so much. Because in terms of, like, how it aligns, I feel like Elon Musk has done more in terms of what I would like to do rather than, like, what Richard Branson has done that I admire a lot is definitely, like, Virgin Records. Because that's, like, obviously something I want to get into, that music industry. Virgin Records is a big thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even on the tech side, like, the way that Elon builds businesses and just keeps it moving and manages all these different organizations.
Yeah.
I just want to be the dumbest man in the room. Like, I want to be Googling and be like, oh, yeah, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would learn so much if I was there for half a day, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but okay, so
that's just me though.
So obviously I'm playing the devil's advocate here. But so let's say you get the 3-year mentorship with Elon and a 3-year mentorship with Richard.
3 years.
Yeah.
I don't think it.
What type of mentorship? Weekly calls, like X amount of access to the person, like physically, you know, those types of things. Insights to your own ventures, their opinions.
I probably still do Elon.
You would?
Because Elon still have the, like, I feel like in terms of Silicon Valley and like mm-hmm. even connections, like he'd be able to connect me other people and be like, all right, cool, I'm out. Like, I wouldn't be the type of person to be like always calling him. Like he would tell me something, I'll dip for like 4 weeks and just like build on that. And then he'll probably be like, yo, this here is like, okay, cool. But because, how come you didn't think about this? And I'll be go back, like, you know, like.
Yeah, because the way I see this equation is kind of like, you know, Einstein, genius. Nobody can take that away from him. But I don't think Einstein was a good teacher compared to being in the classroom with, let's say, Barack Obama. Super charismatic, you know, that's just, the, you know, but obviously, like, Elon is Elon. He's a god, you know.
Nah, that's true.
That's true. Difficult one. Yeah, so we bring his child up on business news. Is that what we're going to do with our own kids? Yes.
Yeah, probably. Like, why not?
This week on Chopped Up.
Like, why not, bro? Like,
so honestly. I switched on the US on my VPN.
Okay.
I go in on Comedy Central. Have you seen Key and Peele on YouTube? Yeah. Like the sketches. Yeah. So funny. Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah.
I hadn't. Once again, I got introduced to them through someone in my close circle. I find it really funny, the series that is. So I was interested in the full show because they do a full show and they release the sketches on YouTube. And the iPad Pro commercial shows up from Apple. And mm-hmm. in Sweden, you don't get Apple commercials, none at all. You really? Only see, like, the way Apple does commercials in Sweden are through, like, phone companies, you know, vendors, like, the equivalent of mm-hmm. AT&T or whatever, and they do, like, posters or videos or whatnot, get the newest iPhone. But you don't actually get native Apple commercials.
I feel you.
Have you seen the iPad commercial?
I have not.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to get back to the podcast after you watch it on YouTube.
I'm always walking to the same old place, just in case I see your face. I'm gonna buy a drink and while I wait, I'ma eat my cake, make the same mistakes.
Jeez, bro.
How insane is that? How insane is that commercial, bro?
That's pretty sick. That's like.
Do you get native Apple commercials in Canada? Like when you're surfing the web, YouTube commercials showing up like that or whatever?
No, I don't think so. Not from my voice. I don't remember seeing any, to be quite honest.
Because this, so it's Comedy Central. I was on Comedy Central with a VPN, like I was in the US, and this shows up. And this is the thing. This is the thing that I love with the US. They're so good at packaging stuff. And when I saw this, so the commercial ends with, so it's this colibri, a hummingbird. Is it a hummingbird? Colorful. Guys, just pause it, go into the show notes and click the link and watch the commercial and then come back. You'll know exactly what you're talking about. It's this hummingbird and it's coming up and it's the cutest little thing. And it's so, like, high-res quality, whatever, everything Apple stands for. It flies in front of the camera. You see the reflection on the camera bump. And then you see the picture that the iPad just took of this cute little hummingbird. And then you see, like, it's zooming out to the iPad floating in the air. And it says, your next computer. And the person takes the iPad from the floating stand. It's not a computer. And I don't Apple, just take my money. Like, yeah, come on.
A beautiful commercial.
This that is
stand,
like
that stand, bro.
And John, and I don't know if we talked about this, but they just released a new coding software which is going to make it possible for developers to develop like Logic and Final Cut Pro X and things for iPad. But that commercial, John, it just like I'm like, Steve Jobs is still alive. He is Apple.
Yeah, like, that's a big one. Like,
you know?
That's a big commercial. I'm not gonna like that's a
It's like
if I had it, I'd be like, okay, here you go, here's the money. Here
yeah, me too, bro. Me too. I don't know. I'm gonna just sell everything. Maybe I'll rent out my mom. Start a website. You want to rent the mom to make money to buy the new iPad? I don't know. But the thing is, like this. That's Apple, and the thing that struck me deep to my core is when I watched the keynote from Apple releasing, if it was the first iMac, and Steve Jobs is saying, we have this, the best guys in the business, like 1980, 1990 something. We have the best guys in the business, and it's an Apple keynote. He shows the commercial. Even though it's back in the days, it's as beautiful as this was. And then he says, this is going to air prime time in between blah, blah, blah on NBC, ABC, blah, 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 Disney, you know?
Yeah.
And you just, that visionary with his vision, the commercials. I don't know. It's just so easy to think that Apple has died. Like, don't forget, it's like an old company, it's slowly becoming a it's legacy old, company,
but they're with the times.
Wow.
And they listen to their consumers, and then they just put it to, on another level, you know what I mean?
And as I was saying, like, if you live in the US, if you live in Los Angeles, if you live in New York, you always get the best of the best. Whether it's commercials, you get commercials that you actually want to watch. It's like this commercial, I want to watch it. I could sit and watch a bunch of these different commercials and enjoy it. And that's what a good commercial is supposed to be.
It's like a short film, bro. It's like...
Yeah, like a short film. Like that commercial should win an Oscar.
It's craziness.
And also, like, because obviously that got me thinking, I am in the commercial business now as a creative director for Expanded Media, and just seeing, like, yeah, I get goosebumps.
I feel you, bro. It's actually beautiful. Like, I don't know where that train of thinking started to even start to think about making a commercial like that with the hummingbird and just like thinking that, like, that's actually like
some
top quality.
And this is what we spoke about in an earlier episode too. Like, you think of Apple as Apple and sometimes as Steve Jobs. But there are thousands of people in the company, passionate, working with what they're passionate about, and all these things. And just, I don't even understand how you can build a machine to run that well. That's my life goal, to build it. Because, like, okay, so let's take Tesla, and you get rid of Elon Musk. Like, Tesla wouldn't function as Tesla does.
True.
Elon is like the engine of that company. Apple is just this, because all a company is a roof with people under it.
Correct.
Doing stuff, you know. I'm just speechless. Like,
it's craziness. Like, it's actually beautiful, man. Like,
I'm
gonna go on a website now and pre what's happening.
100%.
Yo, you don't hold busy, man.
I'm dealing with projects and stuff, so it's regarding that. The last thing I want to talk about is Warren Buffett dumping stock.
All the airlines.
Dumping
stocks.
All the airlines.
Yo, have you seen those memes? The Warren Buffett memes from his call?
No.
Like, I'll send them to you. But basically, they're like, when the part, like, it was like consulting memes. They were like, yo, when the partner says, nah, I got this and I'll do the slides. And it's like the most like obnoxious like explanations in the slides ever, bro. It's like, you can tell he's old, you know?
Yeah. You can tell. But so I'm having two trains of thought when it comes to dumping airline stock. Okay, I just need to check this meme. What about a meme? It should come up here. I just googled. So I'm having two trains of thought, right? And the one thought is that Buffett is old, and I'm not sure how much of his investing is influenced by him obviously being a realist and knowing he won't be around forever. That's the one thing. But the other thing is he's a really good moneymaker, one of the best ones through all times, right? So I'm just thinking like him dumping all that stock and also sitting on a $130 billion cash stockpile, which he claimed isn't that much if things really get bad. So I'm thinking, is he seeing something that we're not seeing? Is he seeing the second wave of Corona planning out and being just thoughtful about that? Because he hasn't swooped in for a deal yet, you know, to buy companies or whatever. So that's an indication of that generally in the markets we should still be careful and don't be too naive, you know. At the same time, we're living in a new age post Corona crisis too. I don't know.
I feel like business travel, like alone, is going to be heavily reduced, and that's a big portion of how airlines make money.
Yeah.
But like, even though like he, and in terms of like Corona and the second wave and stuff like that, like if like it's gonna happen, like a second wave is gonna happen for sure. Like the way these states are opening up and people are I feel that's probably what he's waiting for. Probably, I don't know. Probably trying to sell them before they go bankrupt and he loses all his assets. Probably, but
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Like, we'll see. And airlines are tricky. They're a tricky industry to begin with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because at some point, listen, like, neither you or I, we're not like analysts or whatever, you know. But at some point, whether it's 5 years, 10 years in the future, things will come back to normal. But when you look at history, you know, some of these recuperations, they've taken like up to 22 years before you reach the same level. And I'm not sure what it looks like when they're hammering through cash and not being possible. At the same time, like, all airlines in the world can't fail. They're going to have to be bailed out, you know?
100%.
Until things get better. But then to make up that, then they have these huge debt piles that they have to pay. Yeah, that's probably the angle he's coming from and why he dumped it. But yeah.
Yo, every time a plane leaves and it has an empty seat, that's money that is just is just burning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, that's, well, like the projections that I saw in terms of reaching 2019 demand, like the conservative... Not a conservative. Like the optimistic projections was like 3 years. In 3 years, you'll probably reach about 2019. Like demand. That's optimistic. Yeah. Conservative is probably like 7-10 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like
The interesting thing is, so I saw this one article online about how airlines can redesign the layout in the actual airlines, you know. There's this Italian company doing stuff, and that actually has a lot of merit to it, you know.
True.
To see if something happens on that front, but yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
That's all we can do, man. Mm-hmm. That's all we can do. Like, a lot is gonna change, you know. Like, post this pandemic, a lot is gonna change for sure.
Yeah.
Like companies can just start like working from home. Like they're going to realize like, okay, it doesn't make sense out this overhead cost of having a building when we operated super fine. Mm-hmm. When everyone's at home. Okay, let's just work from home.
Yeah.
And then this, a lot of companies are going to have to start cutting. And I saw like some companies in, another industry, it's like the scooter industry that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that industry is fucked right now. Like that, like Bird and Lime, and like, I think they just laid off a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it, but like,
yeah.
It's affecting a lot of industries still.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom earlier today, actually, about like this scenario right now is kind of my dream scenario, honestly.
Bro, I'm telling you, like I had this conversation yesterday with my boy. We were like, so the last time like some shit has happened was probably the dot-com bubble, right? Where like people coming out of this situation became like billionaires, millionaires, right? Where I dreamed of like being in a situation where I was of an age where I was smart enough or had the resources to be like, okay, I on the opposite side, like people aren't taking advantage of this. On the opposite side of this, I gotta come out like tenfold. You know what I mean? And like, this is it.
Yeah, 100%.
Like this is actually it.
Yeah.
So like, even going back to your first point of asking me like how it feels to be unemployed, like I'm not even like, I don't feel it because I'm like, I wake up, I'm just like working. You feel what I'm saying? Like, there's not going to be another time like this, bro. Like, if you squander this opportunity, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so, for me, like in terms, just like in time, because we all know this, like when there's a crash, the people who have a lot, they always come out with even more. You know, you renegotiate your loans, whatever it might be, you know, mortgages, whatever. It's a perfect timing to do that. There's tons of deals out on the market if you have capital to invest, whatnot. But my thing was that, And that I told my mom, is that I secretly dreamed of the world going to chaos when I was about to enter university, just so I could see it, everything pan out, you know, and get kind of a good view over things. And in Sweden, universities, they've never had as many applications as they've had this season because of coronavirus. Tons of people have been applying, you know, because they know the job market will be really bad. And in terms of expanded media and that business, right now we're just focused on essentially helping companies by cutting their cost of their advertisements, since advertising on Facebook is also really low right now, because that's the first thing companies do. They pull their marketing budget, right? So it's a prime time to get clients in the door, you know, get them working with you, for you. And I'm feeling blessed to hopefully, you know, get into the school, go there for 3 years, and also building up this media company, you know, with my business partner. And I sent you, John, a text, and I told you I finally figured out how to become a billionaire.
How?
Like a legit way how to become a billionaire.
Are you going to share it for the people or?
100%. Who would I be if I wasn't going to share it, bro? So, I mean, there is probably no sure way. Like you can look at statistics, industries, whatever, you know, where, and obviously in finance, most billionaires are made, whatever. But when I look at my own path, because that's what you have to do. You have to look at your own path, right? And it's individual to everyone.
Yep.
And when I look at my own path, you know, my North Star was a private jet, but I've been lowballing myself when it comes to a private jet. So that's more of a goal rather than the North Star nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
What I realized was getting into Stockholm School of Economics is a really good first step, okay? Because of the network you build, all right? but the statistics of billionaires coming out of Stockholm School of Economics, it's non-essential, you know, it's anomalies, you know, to be honest. When I then go in on McKinsey and they write on their website that we are an environment to nurture talents. And when I look on the McKinsey stats, that 3 out of 5 McKinsey alumni who start their own company start unicorns. And a unicorn is a company that's valued over $1 billion within the first 3 years. I like those odds, John. I like those odds that by the time I'm 30, I've put my time in McKinsey, I can then have a good picture of what's going on, what I really want to do, where I excel, in what field I excel in, you know. I can then start my own company, hustle hard for 3 years, try to make it a unicorn. It might fail. Start something new. Boom, 36. Make it a unicorn. Is it a unicorn? Is it not a unicorn? No, it's not a unicorn. Boom, 39. Try to make it a unicorn. Make it. Maybe it's not a unicorn. Boom, 42. Make it a unicorn. Maybe it's not a unicorn. You know? And those are the best odds. The best odds that I can think of how to build a company that's going to be a $1 billion company to make me a billionaire in terms.
That's so reasonable.
It's so reasonable, right? Like the odds are there.
That's true. Like, and the, like, those odds in terms of McKinsey are there too because of that network. You know what I mean? Like, that network you get is similar or higher than Harvard quality. Like, you know what I mean? So,
yep.
Bro, it's just about the people. Like, one thing I've come to realize, like, this business thing, like, on the outside looking in, you think it's this, like, corporate, corporate this, corporate that, but it's just people, bro. People having conversations, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
The higher up you get in the game, like, you'll just see, like, just be a good person.
Yeah.
And you have a great idea. Like, I feel like you're blessed, you know? Like,
that's... Do you want to know another thing that I haven't even told my business partner at Expanded Media yet? So I'm going to be, like, really good at finance when I attend Stockholm School of Economics, right? One of the best ones in Europe. So my goal is going to be to take Expanded Media public, you know, as I exit the school, learn all that stuff, befriend bankers, whatnot. Do you want to know another secret sauce that I realized from actually Uncle JC? He actually helped me realize this. I've known it, but I haven't really understood the weight of it.
What's that?
Do you want to know what's even more important than blowing away money at a strip club? Credit.
It's true.
That's how the Juice did it, or whatever he's singing. Okay, John, so how do you get access to basically an unlimited amount of credit? What's the best way?
I don't know, leverage?
Real estate.
True.
That's true. A solid freaking portfolio. John, imagine taking the company public, selling it for X amount of money, taking that money, leveraging it to... what's it called, like, when you have to put, like, 15% down for a deal or whatever?
Mortgage?
Yeah, but you have to put down payment, right? The majority, like, you take that money, you might, like, let's say you take, like, 70, 80% different down payments on property deals, right? You finance the rest, you know? You'll have a steady source of income, like, income streams every month. And then, like, so let's say you put 15% down, you finance 75%. Let's say it's a building that's worth, let's say, 10 million, you know, then you have the, oh, wow, I just got an email regarding the last math test, but I'm not going to leave it there. No. Yeah. Okay. So, because then you essentially, you're credit worthy for 10 million when you put what, 15% of 10 million, what's that? 1.5 million. when you put $1.5 million down, you know, and that's how you build your credit in order to expand. Obviously, there are, because I learned the golden rule from a good real estate friend of mine, and he's like, never go over 47% in like what's it called, like rent money credit. You know, okay. because then you'll always be fine. Obviously, it's fine to do that, but you don't want to stretch yourself too thin.
True.
Imagine the base. Imagine the leverage you'll have. Imagine having a solid, like, real estate portfolio in your portfolio. So whenever there's a good deal and you don't have the cash at hand, you just leverage your real estates.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Bro, the game's simple, man. Yeah, like, that's simple. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, guys. We're skipping a lot of tons of segments today because we've talked enough.
Yeah, we had a good conversation, bro.
Yeah. A lot of value in this conversation. Yeah, 100%. I forgot. I was going to talk about the hair thing, but we'll save that for next week.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be another, like, 40-minute conversation.
Yeah.
Yo, respect families.
It's insane. So let's just end this episode with a question that is the following. How much of the world's population have Afro hair compared to the hair products in your local store that's only geared towards white people with straight hair?
Reasonable.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace out, guys. We appreciate you. Bye. Later. I used to feel so devastated.